We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in possible. Who you do business with is more important than where they're located. Bank from the comfort of your own home with M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of the KC Laboratory Podcast with Ken Swanson, Craig Stout, and Matt Lane. Coming to you on the fastest-growing sports media network in Kansas City. You can find all of our channels covering all the local teams wherever you listen to podcasts or on YouTube. Just search KCSN. And now, the latest episode of the KC Laboratory.
It's a live edition of the KC Laboratory presented by M-Prize Bank, member FDIC. Maddie, we have got to the most exciting month of the NFL calendar. It is June. Happy June.
Time to dust off the cheeseburger scale and get rolling.
Nope, that ain't happening. That is definitely not happening ever again on my
way. So you say.
I'm off all next week, so you can, you know. You could bring it back and I won't even know.
Might have to go with the lasagna scale next week.
How do you do that? Forget. I don't know. Do you have like a bunch of lasagnas to rank?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, hard pass. Thanks everybody that's hanging out with us. Please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button. Please feel free to leave a 5-star review if you are so inclined. And that would be great, actually. If you're on iTunes, please leave a 5-star review. It helps us grow that channel. It helps create visibility for KC Sports Network. It's a good thing to have. And as we embark on the summer, it's always nice to get a little bit of that 5-star support while we're doing this thing. Craig's not here this week. He will be back next week. I'll be out next week. So we got all kinds of stuff going on this summer. But the last few years, we've been doing this season preview series.
I'm on the field. We're taking a break. Oh, we're going elsewhere. It's only us two. There's only one person to give me a dirty look now. I can't be outnumbered. Let's talk real quick about the pressers today. You know, we had the coaches get up there. We had some positional coaches, some coordinators get up there and jump up on the podium. Okay. We heard from Matt Nagy. We heard from Steve Spagnuolo, Connor Embry, Dave Tobe. Is there anything from that jumped out to you, Kent? Was there anything from today that stood out to you like a sore thumb, buddy?
Not too much, honestly. There wasn't anything too surprising. Dave Tobe, singling out Richie James and John Ross in punt return in the return game. That was a little bit interesting because I think both of those guys are quite fringe players. It was mostly special teams takes for me because, you know, Nick Jones, his optimism about Nick Jones. I wrote a 53-man roster prediction just today on the KCSN Substack. Spoiler alert, Nick Jones has made the football team. It sounds like they're really excited about him as a core special teams player from Jump Street. And he singled out Nazi Johnson, who I believe I had on the outside looking in, which maybe they don't carry three quarterbacks. I don't know. The special team stuff was the stuff that's most interesting because I think the bottom of the roster type conversations are the things that are really worth paying attention to early on in the process for me.
Yeah, I think Tobe leading that conversation off, talking about Denerick Prince and how he kind of reminds him of Nile Davis, who was a good kick returner for the Chiefs. I thought that was noteworthy too. I thought them and just starting off kind of the returner stuff with him and comparing him directly to a guy that the Chiefs enjoyed as a returner, made some big returns for the Chiefs. I thought that was noteworthy. The biggest thing to me came from Matt Nagy. So we've got a lot of hype about Kadarius Toney as a wide receiver one. It's been everywhere. Nagy, when asked about it, all he could muster as his rationale for why the Chiefs think that Kadarius Toney could be a wide receiver one was he's good after the catch. And then he went on to talk a little bit about how they traded for him in the middle of last year, didn't have a full chance to get the entire playbook, but how he was working through it. They were working him in. They were finding ways to do it. He was giving him credit to his smarts and picking up the playbook, but then capped it off again with saying he's good with the ball in his hands. I don't know about you, Kent. When I'm trying to sell somebody as a wide receiver one, if my belief is somebody is a wide receiver one, I'm not starting and ending the sales pitch with just their yards after the catch ability with no real substance in between. I don't know. That stood out to me like a sore thumb. That's the only thing he went to when like a 60-second answer.
I think it's, you know, I think you take those comments kind of compounded with, you know, I think Brett Veach not challenging Kadarius Toney to stay healthy, but just kind of, you know, bringing up, you know, hey, he's got to get through training camp and that kind of stuff. You take those kind of comments, but then you take some of the national reporting where it's yesterday, it's the Chiefs believe that he's a wide receiver one. He's going to be their wide receiver one. You know, there's, you know, it's just, it's interesting to look at the statements made by the team publicly versus the reports that you're getting about certain players, you know, and it, you know, there's a contrast there. There's gaps missing between those two lines of thinking. So that is quite interesting to me. You know, what do you believe? Are they trying to downplay the Kadarius Toney stuff on their side? They don't, you know, it's fast. That's all fascinating to me.
No, for sure. And I think that's why it jumped. I mean, that's why it jumped out to me, is it's different than the national media push and what you're getting, because they're, even when Andy or Brett Veach have talked about it, it's never, nobody's ever said that he can't be a wide receiver one. And not even that Matt Nagy said that. It's just, it's a little bit different than the way it is being pumped up to us as fans from the national media. It's just been a lot of, they really think he can do this. They believe in his potential to do that. They can see him doing this, but every time the coaching staff or GMs actually talk about him, it seems to be far less certain when they speak about it versus the narrative that is just being told through national media. So I don't know, that stuck out to me pretty good. I don't think there was a whole lot else. You know, maybe I believe that the Chiefs might want Frank Clark back a little bit more now after hearing Steve Spagnuolo talk about where he doesn't know where the defensive end room is because it's just been so early. I don't know, maybe, but the big thing was this. Nagy did not seem to have a great answer as to why they see Toney as a wide receiver one.
Yeah, it's worth paying attention to for sure. And, you know, I don't know if I think I'm more optimistic about Kadarius Toney than you are. Not that you're pessimistic. You just have the, hey, like let's see him actually play a full sample size.
See him average over 5 yards per target.
Like, yeah.
Per target. I don't know.
You know, but I do still feel really good about him and his ability and him on the field. It's just I think the Chiefs are probably going to formulate a plan to try to make sure he's on the field. You know, like, I think that'll definitely be part of, you know, some of it makes me wonder, because, like, we've had this conversation off air, like, you see all this national reporting about Kadarius Toney, and it's coming from somewhere. It's coming sourced. And you have to think that there's got to be some level of confidence that they believe that they're going to be able to get him to sustain and endure an entire season without a ton of injury issues. Because I don't think that they would be, like, I think that's the big piece of it that is interesting to me, is like, if they're allowing themselves to say some of the things that they're saying about Kadarius Toney, then there's got to be some optimism and belief that he's going to be able to sustain. So that's where some of my optimism comes from. If you're hearing all these reports, like, they've got to believe it.
No, for sure. I think there's plenty of belief in the building that there is a lot of potential there, and that Kadarius Toney could become a lot more than what we've seen so far. Like, I don't mean to push back on that. It's just, I think the story, the narrative has gotten run with a little bit too far for whatever reason, whether on purpose, whether on accident, whether it's just a fun talking point as of right now. I just, this particular bit from Nagy just really made me go, okay, I don't think the Chiefs are ready to fully buy into that same narrative that is being told right now, because they just, there was no substance. There hasn't been substance really from Brett Veach about why Kadarius Toney's wide receiver one. There was nothing there from Nagy about why he's a wide receiver one in the NFL. So I just think it's a little, they're in the same spot as everybody else. It's like, okay, they just kind of have to see it. They believe there's talent there, but they just need to see it still. And they just kind of hope that that's what he can become, I think, is the best way I can come out of taking this right now. It's just Nagy made that pretty clear, I think, from this press conference.
Yeah, we're going to find out soon enough. You know, the offseason's underway. It's officially June. Players will be reporting next month late. Can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are beginning our season preview series. We are going to be breaking down a couple opponents for the Chiefs every single Thursday during the offseason. Something that we've done the last few years. It's a lot of fun. So we just kind of start with the first week of the season. We ask some simple questions about each football team, and we start with week one. The Detroit Lions coming to town. What do you think the quality of this roster is, Matthew, that the Chiefs will be playing in week one?
The Lions are, it's a good team. They have a pretty quality, pretty solid team from top to bottom. I think you can still poke a couple holes in the defensive front, like the defensive line. It's a lot of like a lunch pail to work kind of guys, which is exactly what Dan Campbell wants. But outside of Aiden Hutchinson, they don't really have a guy in the front seven that's, you know, in the defensive line or even as a sub package pass rusher that really strikes fear in you. I suppose, you know, Aiden Hutchinson, Ali McNeil, Isaiah Bugs, John Kaminsky, like, yeah, you're going to get James Houston kicking down a little bit. Josh Pascal, I think, is a defensive end that we are all both kind of familiar with because of just coming out of the draft process here recently, or Romeo Okwara. Like, they have names. They have guys. It's just nobody really stands out as taking over a game. And so if you're looking through this roster overall top to bottom, you have two big Achilles heels. Jared Goff playing quarterback. And then I just don't know if that defensive front has a playmaker or enough playmakers to really put pressure on opposing offenses just yet.
Yeah, and it seems like they're very intentional about working that back. You know, they've got a stud up front with Aiden Hutchinson. You're right. They kind of just kind of have some dudes around him, like, or some guys around him, I mean. It seems like their back seven's got some interesting players. They've seemed to make some big investments in the back seven of that defense, specifically that secondary. It was quite bad last year, and you know they've made some big investments to try to, you know, add some guys to the mix. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Brian Branch. They've added some really quality players there in the back end. Offensively, like, this was a good offense last year. It was a really good offense last year, and there's a lot of talent on that group, and they've kind of got, you know, a nice stable of running backs. They've got some quality receivers. Obviously, Jameson Williams being out is a big dub for the Chiefs, but there's plenty of talent in that receiver room still, and they found a lot of offensive success without him. Maddie, what do you think the quality of the Detroit Lions staff is?
I mean, so Dan Campbell, I think, is like everyone's second favorite head coach, right? Everybody has the team they root for, and then he's everybody's second favorite head coach. And it's
Mike McDaniel. I don't know. Mike McDaniel might be more for me.
He's coming up there too. Well, so the thing with Dan Campbell, though, is like, it's hard to really pin down why you like him as a football coach. You just love him as a guy. You just love him as a bro. He's just out there talking about eating kneecaps, just mainlining the strongest coffee you possibly can out of the biggest cup, and just doing a lot of yelling. And it just, everybody loves it. I'm the same. I think he seems to motivate guys really well. I'm not trying to say he is not a smart football coach. He very clearly is. It's just the reasons that everybody loves him seem to be less to do with the X's and O's on the football field and just more of how he commands that team. And then, you know, offensively, Ben Johnson's there, who did a fantastic job with them last year. I'll let you talk about him if you want to. The one question is defensively. Aaron Glenn kind of took over last year about midway through the season, and they were struggling for a while.
I think he was there the whole year, actually. I think he might have taken over 2 years ago. I could be wrong.
Was it 2 years? It was either, maybe it was that or play calling. There was something about him going on where he started to take, I think, a little more control of the team and because the defense was struggling, and then it still continued to struggle kind of after he took over, but they started to find their footing later on in the year. I believe they kind of, you know, they weren't a great defense, but they started figuring it out. And then, so after, once they kind of got it rolling a little bit, he gave them enough hype, enough hope to keep him around going into this year. So I think you have some hope around Aaron Glenn going into this year. It's just, I do think he's the guy they need to take a step. Like, you feel good about Ben Johnson, you feel good about Dan Campbell. I just don't know if Glenn has the defense clicking as well as the offense has at this point in time. And that's the step where they need to take.
And I think it was largely a talent thing that they haven't had a ton of talent on the defensive side of the ball. And like, obviously they spent their top pick on there, but there was a lot of work to be done on that defense. And they've been able to add some quality rookies to the defensive side of the ball this year. They're giving Aaron Glenn, I think, I don't want to completely excuse Aaron Glenn, but like, they just didn't have enough guys last year. And I think that will be a better defense. I love this coaching staff, and it isn't just Dan Campbell. The whole culture of the Lions, like, you're right, he's not, I don't think Dan Campbell's considered a tactical genius, but I feel like he probably deserves to be more highly regarded tactically, and, you know, just how he's building a football team and how he wants his team to play, because, you know, he's enabled Ben Johnson to be a creative offensive mind. Like, it's not just like a run the ball down your throat kind of, like, it's really not just that. Like, it's a living, breathing, dynamic offense that Dan Campbell has not shied away from enabling and empowering and believing in. So yeah, he wants to eat kneecaps, but eat kneecaps doesn't mean running into a brick wall all day offensively. Like, he's actively, yes, they're going to run the football and they want to run the football, but they're not afraid to sling the ball around the yard a little bit too. It's a good balanced offense, but it's not balanced in the sense that they're trying to ram again, like run into a brick wall. I think Dan Campbell has some tactical ability. I believe he called some plays last year. Ben Johnson, I think, is a bright offensive mind. And yeah, I think this is a quality coaching staff. One thing that he's always emphasized, Dan Campbell, is a lot of player experience. He's got a lot of player experience within his coaching staff. Mark Brunell, like Aaron Glenn, obviously. And I think that's really cool. Let's talk about new additions for the Detroit Lions. What do you think, Maddie? Well, give me a new addition you like.
There's a handful of guys here. I'm going to steer clear, I think, of the rookies right now. And we're just going to go to the defensive side of the ball. They brought in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and the secondary. You mentioned earlier, they've added a lot of players to the secondary. They seem to be prioritizing it a little bit. But I still think the secondary played great. Like, I think the Lions defense last year was like last in yards allowed per game. And one of, you know, allowed like the third or fourth high most points last year in the season per game. So they didn't have a good defense, but they did invest in the secondary. They brought in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He's a guy that's going to kind of set the tempo or kind of set the tone of this defense. It's going to be some smack talk. He's going to hit guys. He'll make a play on the football. I think that's the kind of guy they need. They need somebody to come in and kind of help turn over. Not that the culture on the Lions is bad. That was the whole thing about Dan Campbell. He's creating this good culture, but they need somebody to actually be out there on the field in the secondary and really drive that point home. Be that Dan Campbell extension on the field. And I think Chauncey Gardner-Johnson can do that for them. He's not the most perfect safety. There is some bad to his game, but I think what he does well and the attitude that he plays with, I think will fit really well in this team.
I'm going with a rookie. I don't care. I'm gonna go with Brian Branch, the nickel safety, whatever you want to call him, out of Alabama. You know, the whole Lions draft was interesting because they kind of went, you know, linebacker and running back, and kind of, you know, took two guys, you know, at lower positional values in the first round, but then they followed up with like Sam Laporta and Brian Branch in the second round. It's just kind of interesting. Like, if you shuffle these names around a little bit, you may not hate how the draft turns out. Like, it's, I didn't hate the Lions draft as much as some other people did. I actually kind of like some of the stuff that they did. I feel like one of the philosophies they might have employed was maybe, you know, trying to take guys before Cliffs fell, you know, in the first round, that linebacker. They took the first linebacker and just took the best one, you know, with the running back. There's two clear running backs and then just a bunch of average after that. So, my guy's Brian Branch, because, like, I think it was a great value in the second round. And he's a guy that, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about, not the best athlete. The athletic profile is the reason that he fell the way he did into the second round. But the instincts, the football IQ, all that kind of stuff is a fantastic fit for the back seven of that defense. He's got, you know, he's great play identification. He can play as a safety. He can play in the nickel. I think he even played a little bit outside at some for Alabama. Good football player, consistent tackler. Like, he's just solid all around. And obviously, it's kind of one of those things. Like, for him, it's going to be the athletic profile doesn't matter until it does. If the athletic profile doesn't matter at all, then Brian Branch is going to be an absolute stud in Detroit. Let's go to players to watch for this game. That can be Chiefs or Lions.
Well, I think this is supposed to be a Lions player to watch, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think we're allowed to talk Chiefs yet.
All right, it's fine.
Here's the thing. I love this. I like the Lions. They're fun. I love the coaching staff. I don't know if I have a ton of players that I particularly love watching for this team, right? Like, there's a few players here and there that I kind of like, but like, I don't think there's any must watch player guy that I'm really waiting to see take a big step. I don't think you're going to pick this guy, so I'm going to get a twofer here. I do like Josh Reynolds, and he continuously finds success in Detroit. There's going to be space across from Amon-Ra St. Brown to keep picking up yards. So I hope he does well, but the guy that I think can take them to the next level offensively will be Jahmyr Gibbs. He's a rookie. He, you know, coming as a running back, you're kind of replacing DeAndre Swift with the combination of David Montgomery and then Jahmyr Gibbs. I think Gibbs is the guy, though, that I got my eye on. If he can hit the NFL and be this Alvin Kamara type player that some people compared him to coming out of the draft, that's going to go a long way for an offense that doesn't have a ton of weapons, right? They have Amon-Ra St. Brown, and that's kind of it. They have to create for everybody else. Jahmyr Gibbs is a guy that can kind of create on his own. So I feel like he's a guy that could take them to the next level, and he's a guy to keep an eye on if you are a fan of an opponent coming up to play the Lions.
My player to watch is Aiden Hutchinson. Wow, what a shocker. But here's the thing. It's the week one for the Chiefs. He's the best edge rusher. He's the best defensive player for the Detroit Lions. He's a guy that can wreck your game and showed some ability last season to wreck games. And oh yeah, the Chiefs are rolling out some new tackles and rolling out a new tackle situation this year. This is a big test for this Chiefs defense right off the jump, and how the new tackles react to Aiden Hutchinson and a guy that can wreck a game is going to be a big factor in this one. So Aiden Hutchinson had a fantastic rookie season, highly productive, and showed, you know, like, I know some people were concerned about the arm length and all that stuff, and some people were betting on the traits of Trevon Walker. Aiden Hutchinson had a clear-cut better first season than Trevon Walker, and it wasn't close. This is it could be a big jump to year two for Aiden Hutchinson, and hopefully it doesn't get started too quickly in week one. We're going to take a break. We'll be back more with the Lions right after this.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
Maddie, quick question.
Yes.
It's Thursday night. It's the opening night of the season. The Chiefs are lowering the banner. Clark Hunt's banging the drum. They're having a good old time. How does this team beat the Chiefs? How do the Detroit Lions ruin that night?
Okay. The Detroit Lions playing the Chiefs in week one take advantage of a fair amount of new weapons and maybe some inconsistencies of the Chiefs passing attack. You know, the wide receiver room is going to look a little different. Not a ton. I mean, you really are just kind of subbing out Juju Smith-Schuster if you're the Chiefs, but that was a big part. So maybe you get a week where the Chiefs aren't exactly on the same page between Mahomes and some of the receiving options. Maybe the offensive tackles, which will be two new starters, aren't on the same page as Patrick Mahomes or the rest of the offense. And this Detroit Lions team that always plays hard, always plays with a chip on their shoulder, can muddy this game up a little bit, can turn it into a bar fight and catch the Chiefs, not necessarily sleeping on them, not overlooking them or anything like that, but just catch the Chiefs not playing as crisp as they probably start to play in the middle of the year. And they kind of surprise them just kind of with overwhelming effort and attitude and taking advantage of some of this new pieces trying to fit together.
I'm excited for this game, but it's a sneaky, challenging football game. Like, this is a offense that I feel is like, this was a good offense last year, and I think it's going to continue to be a good offense. And I think the way the Detroit Lions are able to, you know, win this game is they're able to match the offense of the Chiefs, which is not completely out of the realm of possibility. This is a very high powered offense. Ben Johnson is a fantastic offensive coordinator, and they're going to have some things that they're going to be able to throw at the Chiefs from jump street. Like week one, they're going to be able to throw some things out. There's pretty fair amount of continuity on this Lions offense. They should be able to hit the ground running this offense in year two of Ben Johnson's, you know, process. They are big believers in Jared Goff, so they can win. If it's a shootout, you know, this could be one of those type of games. So that's how that team beats the Chiefs, and it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. Who's the non-Chiefs MVP for the Kansas City Chiefs, Matthew?
I do think the Chiefs
Mahomes MVP. Sorry.
Right. No. I do think that the Chiefs are going to win this game. I actually think it's a pretty good matchup for the Chiefs. I like the Lions. I just don't think they're quite ready yet. And especially they're going to be relying on a lot of new pieces themselves. So I think the Chiefs win this one. Tough game, but not uncomfortably close. I think the non-Mahomes MVP, that's tough. You kind of like to rely on your best players. So let's go with Travis Kelce as the non-Mahomes MVP for this game. I don't think the Lions have a lot of guys to solve the Kelce answer. I don't think their linebacker group, you know, kind of being led by Jack Campbell now, is really ready to stop the best tight end the NFL has ever seen. You can't put Alex Anzalone on him. They don't really have a guy ready to step up and take on that challenge. So, yeah, give me Travis Kelce as the non-Mahomes MVP. It's a surprise, I know, but we'll put him in there this week.
It's your stars. Let's go with Chris Jones and disrupting that game. Like, I think Jared Goff is a guy that struggles against pressure. He struggles against quick pressure. He struggles to react against quick pressure. Chris Jones is the guy that can create that quick pressure for this football team. So, we'll play it safe to start the season, and we will go with Chris Jones. We normally play a little like guess the line type game. Like, what's the line on this game? The line's already out. The Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites, but interestingly enough, about 60% of the money currently is on the Detroit Lions covering 6.5. Matthew, do you think the Chiefs are covering 6.5?
Yes.
I think so too. Andy Reid is always good about getting his team to start hot. They are very good in week one. You saw, I mean, they decimated the Cardinals last season. And, you know, there's plenty of bad team close games. That wasn't one. They beat the brakes off the Cardinals.
I think the Lions, like the Cardinals, are just good enough that you can't take it. I mean, it's the first game of the year, so it's not like anyone's taking it lightly, but it's a game that you are going to be ready for that challenge. There's enough hype around the Lions that you're not walking in thinking it's an easy game, so you are going to get that best foot kind of forward version of the Chiefs. I think you saw it last year with the Cardinals. Then after a couple weeks, we did see the Chiefs go through some of those early season struggles where they were trying, you know, some things weren't coming on to the same page. Guys took some time to get used to one another, and then it started to click. I think it's kind of the same thing. The Lions are a good enough team. The Chiefs come out with their best foot forward. I think it's just a singular touchdown win and opening night with a raise in the banner with Andy Reid with all this time to prepare. I feel pretty good about that.
Week two, the Chiefs traveled to the Jacksonville Jaguars, a rematch of the AFC divisional round game, the game in which Patrick LeVon Mahomes suffered an ankle injury that he played through and won the Super Bowl with because he is the best player in the history of this sport. The Jacksonville Jaguars made a playoff game, won a playoff game. What's the quality of this roster, Matthew, in 2023?
Yeah, it's a good roster still. I think he's the name. I mean, yes, Patrick Mahomes was hurt, and that matters, but they took the Chiefs down. It took a fumble deep in the Chiefs' territory for the Chiefs to definitely win this game. I'm not saying they wouldn't have won without the Agnew fumble, but like it took that, right? So this is a good team. They have players on all kind of all levels. They have guys that can make plays on, you know, every single level of their defense, on their offense. Trevor Lawrence is clearly kind of taking that next step or on his way to taking that next step at this point in time. So I think this is a pretty good roster top to bottom. They have a couple big holes, like who is going to replace Juwan Taylor for them? It's going to be a Walker Little, but how well is he going to fill in those shoes? Because Juwan Taylor was, you know, really good for them last year. Now Cam Robinson's back. How well is he going to play coming back in again? Walker Little on the other side. How comfortable do you feel with that? Like they do have a couple question marks there, but overall, I think the roster top to bottom is about as complete as this Jaguars roster has been in a long time.
Well, and Cam Robinson will be suspended to start the season too. So they're gonna have Anton Harrison probably start in week one. It'll probably be Walker Little and Anton Harrison as their starting tackles would be my guess. Because Cam Robinson won't be available for this game. But yeah, this is a quality roster. Like this is, I think, you know, there's a lot of offensive firepower, and Trevor Lawrence was definitely coming into his own as the season was going on last year with the talent around him. And there's some pieces on the defensive side of the football. You know, you've got some pass rush ability, you know, with a Josh Allen, you know, with a Trevon Walker, you know, decent pass rush there. And, you know, some interesting players in the back seven of that defense. You know, they've added some secondary help in free agency. They've kind of done some things to solidify their defensive front a little bit too, just building on some depth. So it's a quality roster. It is a very quality roster, if you ask me. What do you think the quality of the staff is?
Better than the roster. That's saying something. I think it's a good roster. I think Doug Peterson's absolutely great. I think he's one of the better head coaches in the NFL, especially if given the support that he kind of needs, and then he's ready to really get going. I thought Press Taylor and that entire offensive coaching staff, they stashed it with a bunch of guys that I kind of had last year were hoping like, oh, this is a fun name that would be fun if the Chiefs brought it. No, to the Jaguars. What about this guy? No, to the Jaguars. So I like the offensive minds they have going on there in Jacksonville to go along with a Doug Peterson, who I really like as a coach. And I think Doug Peterson is the guy that, like, he understands analytics and how to be aggressive. Like, unlike Brandon Staley, who feels like he's just throwing stuff at a wall to go for it because he wants to, and then saying analytics this, analytics that. Doug Peterson realized, hey, my team isn't as good, or we're going up against Patrick Mahomes, we're going up against Justin Herbert. We need to go for it. We need to really push the boundary here. And if it doesn't work, so be it. We need this. He feels like a guy that's willing to take the right risks for the reasons of taking a risk because he knows they need it. I can't say enough good things about Doug Peterson and how well I think he's coached that team right now. I think we all know how smart he is on the field and just the command and control he has in a, you know, play-by-play, game-by-game basis is getting better and better. I mean, he's already won a Super Bowl, but it's still getting better. So this coaching staff is really good. You know, Mike Caldwell on defense is fine. I don't love it. Don't dislike it. It's just fine for me. And I think that's, and again, kind of like the Lions, that's an area where there is maybe room for improvement. Is Caldwell taking another step forward, maybe throwing some new wrinkles into a defense that did get exposed at times versus good offenses, but like the majority of their coaching staff's really good.
Doug Peterson takes risks. We take breaks. We'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Thanks everybody hanging out. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. New additions to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Matthew, give me a new addition.
Calvin Ridley.
Shocker.
I think it counts. Right. I think it counts though, yeah, right? Like he was, sure.
Absolutely.
You know, he wasn't there last year. I mean, he was there last year, but wasn't there last year. And now he's coming back. He's officially wearing zero, right? Like he's number zero as a wide receiver. One of the few like really big name players to take on that number zero. Bold strategy by him coming off of a suspension. But hey, he was a really good wide receiver with Atlanta. He's now getting to step in and challenge Christian Kirk to be the Jaguars wide receiver one, which is, I mean, that'll be huge for them. If he can play better than Christian Kirk did last year and force Kirk into the clear wide receiver two, let Ridley be the wide receiver one. I mean, like that elevates this offense a ton right now. So I'm interested to see how they incorporate him into this offense. You know, I don't think there'll be any issues with him replacing Marvin Jones on this team. He'll likely be a big improvement there, more consistent. So like, I think that's an area where this team could easily take a step right away just from the addition of him coming back.
Anton Harrison for me, just because like the gravity of, you know, and the, how important it is going to be for him early on, just hitting the ground running. You know, it's Anton Harrison, the first round pick for him. Obviously a guy that we were paying a ton of attention to as a potential Chief, sliding into the left tackle position. If he was able to fall to pick 31, I think he would have been in play if he had fallen that far. But yeah, he's a left tackle and they're going to need him with Cam Robinson's absence early in the season. I think, you know, we talked, you know, if he was in Kansas City, he's probably playing day one. He's probably sliding into the left tackle position day one. Well, he's going to have to do that for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And obviously, yeah, I think he was one of the last few tackles that was going to be able to really compete year one in this draft where he was selected. I think that kind of is going to bear out. I think he'll be the starter week one for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Players to watch, Matthew.
Oh man, I guess I burned Calvin Ridley too early, huh? I want to go with Andre Sisco. I think that as a safety, he was a guy that made a lot of big plays for them on the back end last year. It's a secondary that had some issues. It's a secondary that didn't, you know, always, that's what got them beat in the playoffs, right? The Chargers picked them apart. The Chiefs were able to pick them apart. That's where good offenses were really able to attack. More so the cornerback room and the safeties. But what I think Sisco did for them last year is he made it difficult for teams to push the ball downfield. You know, as Chiefs fans, we know he delivered some big hits against the Chiefs. Dirty, not dirty, whatever you want to call it.
Dirty.
He delivered big hits. He came up, forces turnovers. Like he makes a lot of plays. Yeah, Sisco, if you remember him going back to college, he also gave up a lot of big plays. I think he's kind of limited that a little bit so far. In the NFL, he's gotten better and better about not giving up as many big plays, trying to hunt making them, but that ability is still there. So here you have a defense that maybe doesn't have excellent boundary corner play, but if you have a rangy playmaking safety over the top, that allows guys to play a little bit more free. So I'm excited to see if he takes this next step and what kind of impact that has on guys like a Tyson Campbell or a Trey Herndon, Darius Williams playing corner on the outside.
Give me Christian Kirk, the wide receiver. So Christian Kirk kind of changed the wide receiver market and disrupted it in a big, big way a couple years ago, getting big money. But Christian Kirk had a great year last year with Trevor Lawrence, and they kind of figured out fantastic ways to utilize Christian Kirk's skill set. They kind of used him on some of the manufactured touch stuff, but I think he showed more advancement as a pass catcher, as a route runner, beyond 10 yards, beyond 5 yards, in Jacksonville. And he proved himself to be a high quality player and a, like, just a great fit for a young quarterback. And so you take him, you're a little bit less pressure on him with the likes of a Calvin Ridley. Like Christian Kirk could have a fantastic season. I think he's a really good football player. He's definitely a guy to pay attention to. How did the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Chiefs, Matthew?
So they almost did it last year, right? Like, you have to give them that nod. They almost did it. Yes, there was an injury in there and stuff like that, but they played a really good game. So it's easy to say just kind of run that similar game plan back. But here's the problem. They lost some pass rushers there in the front. Like, they don't have all the same guys. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Robertson Harris and Tyler Lacey are going to be playing across from Josh Allen as their defensive. I know Trevon Walker's still there, but, like, they don't have the same depth of the pass rush. And Arden Key isn't there anymore. Like, they lost some guys, they're going to bring some of that pass rush coming off the edge as part of their rotation. So I don't know if they have the ability to pressure the Chiefs offense the same way they did last year. It might just be a pure shootout. And I think they have the offensive talent to do so. So that's the route it goes. This ends up being a really high scoring game. The Jags maybe have the ball last, and the Chiefs just don't quite have the answers for Evan Ingram, for Christian Kirk, for Calvin Ridley, for Zay Jones, just for all the potential Travis Etienne, all these weapons that the Jaguars can throw out there, and they just end up winning, you know, this high scoring game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I who knows? Trevon Walker, we'll find out. We'll find out year two. Like, he had a good rookie season. I don't know if it was a great one. But the tackles could give them enough of fit, or the tackles could have some fits with those guys, but I don't think it's going to be that the defense does enough to really disrupt this game. It's going to be more on, it's another one of those shootouts. This is a high quality offense, a high quality quarterback, an ascending quarterback, an ascending offensive roster with a lot of quality players around him. I mean, Travis Etienne, Evan Ingram. I'll just throw Britton Strange out there because I want to. Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Calvin Ridley. Like, there's some dynamic players that they can kind of get into the mix and put some points on the board. And Trevor Lawrence, I think, is on the verge of kind of breaking out. Like, I think this is going to be a breakout season for Trevor Lawrence. So, it's another shootout potential. The funny thing is like, I really like the Chiefs defense. Like, that's the funny thing. It's like, I kind of like the Chiefs defense a little bit this season. Who's the Chiefs non-Mahomes MVP in this game?
I mean, it's got to be somebody on offense. We just talked about it. It's a high-scoring game. Both teams are going to have to put up a lot of points. You think the Chiefs will have to just... I mean, you always have to outscore your opponent, but it's going to be... The pressure is going to be on the Chiefs offense to outscore the Jaguars offense that we think could be pretty deadly. So... Give me Travis Kelce, I think. He had 180 yards and 3 touchdowns in the 2 games against them last year. They clearly don't have an answer for a great tight end like Kelce. So I think that's the route I'd go, you know, working over the middle of the field, taking advantage of some of those linebackers, catching the ball underneath, keeping Cisco out of the play. I think he's going to have a lot of success. Maybe another 80 yards, another touchdown. Rely on your best players to beat these good teams. So give me Travis Kelce.
This isn't as fun when it's just you and me doing it. Because there's not 3 answers to offset your Travis Kelce.
What are you talking about? I'm just picking the guy that's most likely to be the MVP that's a non-Patrick Mahomes.
Isaiah Pacheco averaged 8 yards per carry last time that these two teams played. 12 carries, 95 yards. A big long run of 39 yards. He had a really good game in the playoffs against them. I'll go with Isaiah Pacheco. Also, keep an eye on Kadarius Toney. His kind of breakout game as a Chief was against the Jacksonville Jaguars in the regular season last year. So those will be my 2 candidates for the
Trent McDuffie. If you wanted to get a defensive player involved, I think about a team, the Jaguars, that should be able to air it out a little bit. I actually think it's a pretty good matchup for him, whether it's Kirk, whether it's Calvin Ridley. Like, it's guys that can't necessarily take advantage as well of his lack of length, his lack of height. So it's a good matchup for him to use his versatility, to use his best skills versus skills that are kind of matching up well. So you need the Chiefs to make some stops. What's it looking like for McDuffie? It could be a good game for him to really kick off his sophomore year on a high note.
Maddie, guess the line on this game. I couldn't find
it. Is this game in,
it's in Jacksonville? It's in Jacksonville.
It's in Jacksonville. Okay, Chiefs 2.5.
I think it'll be 3.5. I think it'll be about 3.5. I like 3.5. So I think that's probably what it'll look like, personally.
Do you think they'll win?
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, I think
by
they'll win.
By 4? Are they covering?
3.5 is going to be a really, if it's 3.5, it's going to be a tricky line. I think they probably win the game by 3. They're up 10 late and Trevor Lawrence drives down and gets a garbage time touchdown. Something like that. So
garbage time versus the Jaguars. You heard it here first from Kent.
You know what I meant. That's going to do it for this episode of the KC Laboratory. Thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate you and we'll catch you later.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.